The McElroy brothers are not experts. And their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert. But if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I say only to remind those babies out there how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three. It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like it's better with you. My life, it's better with you. This is true, it's better with two. My life, it's better with you.
Let's give it up one more time for Clint McElroy. Not a bit.
Glad he was able to make it out tonight.
His incompetence isn't a bit since 2013. Just an incompetent man doing his best in the world.
But sometimes that should be rewarded. We let him come on stage. We pay him to be here.
You got to start the show, Justin.
Yeah, I am. Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother, Me, and My Show for the Modern Era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin Tyler McElroy. This is a big Justin town. I don't know if you guys felt the San Jose energy.
Yeah.
And I know I say this in every city, but this is like a Justin town.
Yeah,
like,
for
you
sure.
Know?
That's a good energy to pass it off to us.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis Patrick McElroy.
We should each claim a third of them.
Can we try? Can we try a unique social experiment?
Okay.
And it's going to rely on everybody. I want it to be dead fucking silent here right after I say my name. I don't want anybody to make any sound. I want that to be on the recording. Please don't think you'll be the funny one person screaming out. Just here we go. And I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy. Awesome, cool, let's go.
Good for you all.
Hey,
yeah, you're in sync, that's good.
That was really cool.
That's good.
I set that up, and it still scared the shit out of me.
Yeah. No, we're going to edit it real good. We're going to edit it real good, yeah. Where you don't set it up.
Yeah, it's just, speaking of our incredible fame, I had a realization. I did something I've always wanted to do and always dreamed of doing. I walked around a city I was in for no real reason at all.
Cool. Beautiful.
Look at it. I was envisioning.
Wait, you've never done that before.
I want to be the sort of person that's like, I'm just going to go have a look around. You know what I mean? Like, I know
you've
people
never just had a look around before?
I mean, on the way to the movies or the aquarium or whatever, on my way to a place, but I don't just like walk around town.
You would not know that from the quality of the street poetry that you send to me and Travis on a daily basis.
But I just went to look around. It's a beautiful place that we're in. And I realized when I got outside that they were advertising a concert at this exact venue for Ringo Starr.
Okay.
You guys have heard this guy.
He's one of the top four Beatles.
Yeah, he's... But it occurred to me, I was like, okay, Ringo Starr is playing here. Yeah. And he is as much the Beatles as is anybody, right? We can agree on this.
Well,
no, we can agree on this.
No, yeah, sure.
It's not... Okay,
even four-way split for all of the sort of artistry that took
place. This is the argument I was making to myself in the bathroom. even if, I feel if Ringo Starr and Paul McCartney share a stage, they're not closer to being the Beatles, right? It's not like more the Beatles.
I now, hold on. What a wild fucking thing to say. You're saying Ringo Starr alone on stage is as much the Beatles as Ringo Starr and Paul McCartney together on stage.
Yes, this is what I'm saying.
When so you hear it echo back to you in my voice.
It's better even because you've got an authority that I lack.
Yeah, sure.
So I looked at that and I thought, well, okay, that's
Justin, if that logic continued and the ghosts of
the other two, you got it.
The other two.
Go on, continue this lecture about the
John
Beatles.
Lithgow.
Okay. So anyway, I noticed that Ringo Starr's playing here and he's the Beatles. So that means that we are, by the transitive property, as big as the Beatles. Now, that's pretty cool. But you know what's cooler is that the Beatles, according to one of them, are bigger than Jesus. So now where that
and that was
me.
And before you finish this sentence, well, that was a really good sort of PR moment for them.
Yeah. I remember distinctly I was there. He said that we're bigger than Jesus, and everyone went, cool.
Cool, man.
That's an awesome thing to say. We love this. Hey, call out some other worldly religions. Well, who else are you bigger than? Say something about the Pope.
I forget what I was.
No, how we're bigger than Jesus.
It wasn't that. It definitely wasn't that
no,
I was building
it
to.
We're as big as Jesus. Let's hedge our bets. I agree.
That's fair.
Hey, it's like Jesus and us. Oh, neck
I'm getting
and neck.
I'm getting a text from our manager. Oh, man, he says I got to stop talking.
Oh, the Holy Spirit texted you?
No, I don't. No, he takes orders from me.
Oh, I knew it. Is that how that breaks down?
Yeah, that's the basic.
Jesus chain. Always bossing the Holy Spirit around. Give me a Coke. Oh, man. If you want the son of the boss.
Yeah, so this is an advice show where... And consider that in context of the past few minutes. I mean, consider the source, I guess, would be my sort of
caveat for sure.
Tour there. Okay.
Whoa, be careful with the Latin.
My housemate started making... Do you see when you rag on me, San Jose's like, I'm not so funny, yo. We're kind of a Justin town.
Well, actually, Justin.
Okay.
I thought we were going to start with a segment.
What? Okay, fine. That just this once.
Okay. Hey, everybody. I got a segment I like to call With Special Guests. Here's how it breaks down.
What an indecipherable noise the hundreds of you just made.
I'm going to tell you which SNL host is introing which SNL musical guest.
Yes. Yes.
And you guys are going to tell me what vibe they're bringing to the intro.
Okay.
Up first, Jimmy Fallon and Madonna introing Justin Timberlake.
Okay, what?
There's
no way they're synced, right? The energy is different.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, I thought you were talking about time. I think there's probably a full second that passes between when Jimmy Fallon stops saying the name Justin Timberlake and Madonna stops saying it.
Okay. Yeah, but like energy-wise, do you think there's a set? Do you think she's like...
No, they're nowhere near the same level.
Okay. Yeah, that's... I mean, that's a good start. Who's more excited?
Madonna. Why are you interviewing me right now? You're also in the game.
I know, but I'm curious what you think before I say what
okay,
I think.
Okay, well, That was... You've gotten it all out of me now. Okay. So go 1 cent above me there.
I think they're in perfect sync. And I think they are... They sing it.
Okay, introducing Justin Timberlake. Are they in sync? Play the video, Paul.
Ladies and gentlemen, Justin Timberlake!
Wow.
Wow.
They should have figured out what they were going to do. The energy they're bringing is brother and sister doing a Christmas card, but they haven't discussed it beforehand. Yeah. I think that's the background.
Nor have they
didn't discuss outfits.
No.
They didn't discuss anything.
They haven't discussed beforehand, and they haven't lived in the same house for 15 years.
Yes.
No.
This is the first time seeing each other.
Now, up next, Elliot Gould.
Oh, no.
Introducing Gary Numan.
Okay.
Like a secret, Elliot says it.
I think like he's introducing us to a dear friend, Gary Numan. Like, here's my bud, Gary.
Okay, get ready to see one of the coolest fucking things you've ever seen. Play it, Paul.
Ladies and gentlemen, all the way from England, Gary Numan.
What? If you're listening to the audio later, Mr. Gould finishes the syllable men, and at the exact same instant pops a cigarette into his mouth.
A half-smoked.
A half-smoked.
With an inch and a half of ash on the end.
They lit, fucking they just, hell.
They like just, somebody panned past him in an alleyway, and he was like, what are you, yeah, it's Gary Numan. Keep going.
He has been dragged in from the smoker's dock somewhere like, Elliot, you're on. Hurry in here.
Yeah, you got it. It's Gary Numan.
Gary Numan.
This way? All right. I'm out.
I think I was closer, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Emily Blunt introducing Bruno Mars.
Loud. I'm getting loud. I'm getting like yelling.
Oh. Okay, this is gonna seem weird, but like humbled. Like she's like she seems like she's like honored, you know what I mean? Like
oh,
Bruno
that's interesting.
Mars. Like Bruno Mars.
Hey Paul, play the clip.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bruno Mars.
Justin fucking nailed it.
I mean, pretty close, right?
It's a, can you fucking believe it?
Me?
Bruno Mars.
I played Mary Poppins. What a dork am I? And I get to introduce Bruno Mars? Mr. 24 Karat Gold himself?
Also important to note, they say who's on the show at the beginning of the show, so he didn't just show up and they were lucky to grab him.
Yeah. I'm about to introduce him. Don't believe me.
I know. Listen, guys, you're not going to...
Oh, Travis, you shit all over Justin's joke.
Sorry.
There wasn't even a joke. I was really relieved, actually. I really just dodged a bullet because I didn't want to finish saying it.
Oh, my bad, man.
It's okay.
Oh, no, you got to tell me next time.
Go.
I thought
sorry,
the tone
I
of my
interrupted.
Voice...
Go ahead.
I said that, yes, I get to introduce Bruno Mars. Don't believe me? Just watch.
No, I feel bad.
Stop. Wait a minute.
All right, we got one last one.
All right.
Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
Introducing Coldplay.
Wow. I'm getting loud. I'm getting uncharacteristically just sort of hype from Kristen Stewart.
I think solemn, like it's a telethon of some sort.
Okay, Paul, play it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Coldplay.
Oh, it's both wrong. We're really both
this right here?
Wrong.
This right here?
Yeah, Coldplay.
This is my Coldplay. Yeah.
Oh, this is the Coldplay I made it in third grade. It's just a Coldplay I made in third grade.
Yeah.
You don't have one of these?
It.
You don't have a Coldplay?
Coldplay. I'm doing my friend Coldplay a favor.
It's stupid. I want to throw it away. You can have it if you want. I don't want it anymore.
It's Coldplay. It's whatever. I'm not even proud of it. But if you want to watch it.
I suck shit at this game.
If I had known the exact year, what project Kristen Stewart was promoting, I feel like I could have done
it. It would have made
better.
It much easier.
I actually, from the little bit I know about Kristen Stewart, I think this is how she does everything.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm on fire.
How about a question now?
Yes, now, because now we can have the question. Yes. My housemate started making homemade yogurt to try and save money for the house. We share groceries. It's bad. And the texture sucks. How do I tell them I don't like their yogurt and I want to go back to store-bought?
Now, listen. Here's what I'm going to say. If they just started making homemade yogurt, of course they're not good at it at first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one's good. I wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah.
Milk, leave it out?
Yeah.
Wait.
Careful. That's the best I got.
Careful. You get accident cheese. And
yep.
That won't cut the mustard when it's yogurt time.
Yeah, mustard isn't made of milk. How much yogurt were you eating before? That when you looked at the grocery budget, you're like, you know what we need to cut back on?
The one area where we could really start to save
you know what?
Pennies.
This is going to change everything. If I buy the ingredients and materials needed to make yogurt at home, we're going to be able to finally buy other yogurt. I don't know what the rest of that is.
I know I can be a kind of a finicky Phil about foods sometimes, but I do feel like yogurt is kind of always right on the yucky line.
Yeah.
Right? It's like right on the yucky line where if it goes a little bit this way or a little bit that way, it's yucky. I don't know that that would be the food I'd jump to is like, I could do this at home.
What if you put it? What if you put in too many probiotics?
That's true.
And you're so normal.
One thing that's good about dairy is that if you just keep squishing it, it will become something else.
Yeah, neat.
After a while, you break dairy spirit.
If you put cream into your stand up with a mixer and then you whisk it for too long, at first it becomes thick, luscious whipped cream, and then after that it becomes butter. And I just want to say,
what happens after that?
Well, I don't know.
Why did we stop at butter? Well, we have to keep going.
Well,
antimatter.
That's so loud, pal.
Sorry.
Okay. I was just gonna say that I think it's really good. It's lucky that we got butter.
Yeah.
Because me, once I got to whipped cream, I'd stop every time.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, how did we invent butter?
First person that does it, you're hanging over their shoulder. You're going to ruin that fucking whipped cream.
Stop, please.
Wait, what are you doing? No.
No. We're so excited about whipped cream. Please
it's good
stop.
Now. Well, you ruined it. I'll spread this on toast just to make you look stupid. Oh, wait, fuck.
Damn, it's good.
That's really, hey. Here's a Nobel Prize.
Hey, you think this would work with peanuts? Let's try it.
I don't think I could do this because they are. It's alive, right? All the little biotics in there.
Yeah. You are their Cthulhu.
Right. It's like if I got a big tank of sea monkeys and then I just drank that.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I guess it's the same thing with sourdough starter. Is everything just has alive in it?
Hey, Griffin.
Yeah?
I guarantee there's a large chunk of vegans in the audience right now. We're like, yeah!
Yeah, come on. Step through. You're so close. You're so close, King. Please. Nope, not this time.
No.
Oh, I was close. I was really thinking about it. Oh, man. Maybe next time, though.
You could just not eat it, and then your roommate is going to realize, like, boy, I'm eating a lot of yogurt.
Yeah.
I'm really having to put in the hours to get to the bottom of this container before it goes sideways.
Maybe you get a second job to buy your own yogurt, and you're like, yeah, but this one is just for me. How's yours? It's good.
How about another question?
Yeah.
My best friend is getting married.
Big fans of questions, yeah.
Yeah. My best friend is getting married soon, and her venue is, according to several people, Google searches, haunted. Because the nature of the venue, the entire wedding party, myself included, will be staying here the night before the wedding. Can I ghost hunt at her wedding? If yes, how should I go about doing so? That's from Maid of Horror in San Jose.
When you do a Google search,
yeah.
Do you think that there's a human being who works at Google who's like, yes, I need to make sure this thing's haunted before we say yes?
Yeah.
Because I would hate to spread misinformation.
I think this is one of those, like, you got to joke about it till it's real, right?
Yeah.
You know what would
be funny? You know what would be so funny and
so
random?
Funny.
You know what would be so random as if we hunted for ghosts tonight?
And if your friend is like, no, it's my wedding, that's where you can break out,
yeah, but
how far are the boundaries of your wedding extending on it? Definitely when you're walking down the aisle.
That's wedding.
That's start a wedding.
Is the night before? Is that wedding?
I remember before my wedding being incredibly, incredibly paranoid that I was going to just step off a curb and break my leg and then not be able to do the wedding we had been planning for over a year. The idea that I would court spectral danger with such proximity to the party you've been planning fucking forever, it should be, the thing should be, the day before your wedding, you sit in a vault, a padded vault, with guards outside just making sure that everything's fine, and you walk out of that and you get married.
Hey, Griffin, what you just said is maybe more revealing of your personality.
I realized that as I was saying it, and I was like, this is too much for them.
Griffin just got a heart rate notification on his watch.
I can't believe you just fucking bio-blasted me like that, dude. You fucking bio-blasted me, bro. I've been bio-doxed.
don't isolate that audio, please. I beg of you. I used to be the cool dad who did parkour and could climb up a building. Now that I'm older and my body is falling apart, I just can't perform my rad moves anymore.
Now read the next question.
That was uncalled for. This is the question.
Justin, I was inferring that you used to be able to do parkour, which I think is a huge compliment.
Yeah, Justin's in his parkour prime right now.
I'm as good as I've ever been at parkour, Griffin.
Yeah.
I'm on my parkour plateau. How do I maintain my cool dad status? That's from Stiff and Sore in Scotts Valley.
Are you here? All right.
Hey, wait. That was a real cool parkour dad way to respond.
Hey, yeah. Come down from there.
Oh, shit.
Listener, later. This guy is out of control. He's climbing up in the... Hey.
He just fucking double jumped off the air.
It's incredible.
Oh, wait. Hold on. There is one follow-up question I need to know. How old are your kids? Okay, there's nothing you can do that will be cool enough now.
Yeah, 12 and 17.
Even if your body was in its prime,
yeah,
you still couldn't parkour hard enough for your 17-year-old to be like, still rules.
Still good.
I think the first time my kids buy ice cream with money they made, yep, I'm hanging up my Spurs. I think that's it for me. I don't think I have any more sway around these parts. Yeah. I'm going to head on out into that sunset, and you kids will have to look out for yourselves from now on, because you figured out my big trick.
Yep.
My big trick, how to get ice cream and how to buy it.
Man, it's sad being a parent.
Can be. I think you got one more in you.
Ooh.
I think you got
one more jump.
You might not make it back from this one. Justin's right. But hey, your kids will remember you like you want them to, dying doing parkour.
Yeah. And everyone sort of just around on the street, sort of when it goes down, that's going to be a memorable day.
Yeah, you remember that one Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie where he parkours between the Twin Towers? Yeah, he had one parkour left and it was walking on that big wire. And he fell off, spoiler, but he didn't. But we'll always remember him as a cool parkour dad.
You either die a cool parkour dad or you live long enough for your kids to call you the dumbest person they ever knew in their entire lives. So there's the two different ways that could go.
Our dad once sliced his butt cheek open on a mesh screen window.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there's worse ways to hurt yourself.
Yeah. My dad once got sent to the hospital because he got hit by a truck's side mirror while he was carrying the biggest tray of cold cuts I've ever seen in my whole life. If you haven't imagined it yet, wait till you get home, because nothing is going to top that we say.
And he wasn't jumping off walls or nothing.
No.
He was just walking.
God, I wish I could do parkour.
Yeah.
Another question?
How do you start doing parkour? Just run into things?
Just don't fall for long enough.
I'd do another question.
Hey, how do I get someone to play foosball with me at work? I work at an office where they just added a new foosball table to the common area. It's been there for several weeks. I've never seen anyone use it. I love foosball and really want to play, but no one else seems interested. I tried to casually hint at it several meetings, but no avail. Brothers, I love that you're using meeting time for this, by the way. I have one more point I'd like to touch on. is it foosball related?
We don't stand on the opposite sides of tables enough.
How can this person get some
foosball action? Are you here? All right.
I think this is difficult because without walking around the room and saying like, do you want to play foosball? You can't just
wouldn't do that or anything like that.
You
that way,
you
right?
can't just walk up to the foosball table solo and start spinning. I can't think of actually a sadder business image than just a person getting over the desk, stretching.
Unless you play both sides of the table like you're some sort of chess genius.
Yes.
Oh, like Forrest Gump did.
Who's Tommy?
Yeah. But let's reference more movies where people get super game powers.
The Wizard.
Yeah.
Mighty Ducks?
All right. So, anyway, play both sides of the table. Okay, that could work. I feel good about that answer.
I think you need to spice it up. Foosball seems a little outdated to me.
Yes.
Remember like we did with the XFL?
Oh, yeah, like, we all remember. We all remember what we did with the XFL. Well,
they thought football was boring, and they added like whipped cream cannons and lasers and stuff, like a lot of wild stuff. And I think that you could do that with foosball. Like, yeah. It's time to update it with, okay, let me hit you all with this. Thank you for taking the time, by the way. I really appreciate you.
Sharks, we have a pitch for you.
This is my pitch. It's foosball, but across the table, there are cups of stuff you really, really, really don't want to knock over. Right? So, like, you're kicking, but you're also trying to avoid, like...
acid.
Well, I was thinking, like, chocolate syrup, but yeah, sure. You can melt the table with acid. Ashes of what?
Like an urn of ashes.
Yeah. Like a loved one's ashes on the foosball table.
Hey, I'm trying to play foosball. We should start a league. All right, I'm dropping the ball. What's that big urn? That's my Nana.
My Nana is...
But listen, baby, play it where it lies.
Yeah, oh, what's that cup? That's last year's profits. Don't spill that or we're bankrupt.
I should warn you, my Nana's negative 8 points. So you aren't going to want to give her a wide berth.
Le está gustando mi podcast?
Sí. That's for Dov.
That's Spanish for are you liking my podcast? I didn't know
are
that.
Are you asking me if I like your podcast?
Which wonderful?
No, it's a new one I do, and it's a Spanish language podcast I do, and that's this is all I know so far.
Okay, so it's a it's a short podcast.
So, this is
so
the
far
pilot
for your
it.
Spanish language podcast, what you've learned is how to say, how do you like my podcast?
Or are you liking my podcast?
So there's so like active. A 10-second greeting,
this
17
summer,
minutes of mattress ads.
Shush. This summer, you could start speaking a new language with Babbel. Like I just did just now. If I can do it, anyone can.
That's
Babbel's
true.
Quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks, or in my case, like a minute.
I have used Babbel to brush up on my Spanish quite a few times. They make it really fun and easy. They're these little digestible games. They're perfect for, well, you shouldn't say the toilet in a commercial, but they're perfect for the toilet.
Or do you mean the baño?
Ah, see, the El Baño. See, Travis has been learning language on the toilet. Now you can, too, with this exclusive offer. Griffin, hit me.
See.
That was the app.
It's just that easy.
Tell me the offer.
It's a special, limited-time deal for our listeners to get you started right now. Get 55.
If you find out that someone who doesn't listen to the show used this, you report them. Do you hear me?
Get through the ad.
Right.
It's a special limited time deal for our listeners to get you started right now. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/mybrother. Again, get up to 55% off at babbel.com/mybrother, spelled BABBEL.com/mybrother. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And as they would say in Spanish, au revoir.
Hey, we have some live shows coming up. If you're enjoying this, then you can catch it yourself if you live in Philadelphia, where we're going to be performing My Brother and Me on October 11th.
We're going to do this same show over again, word
That's
for
right.
word.
Word for word. It's going to be hysterical. Then we're going to be in New York City on October 12th and 13th during New York Comic Con doing Mabim Bam and Taz. If you go to macroy.family, you can find links and tickets and all that jazz. We got some new merch over at macroymerch.com for the month of September. And you're going to find something on there that's going to really suit your fashion and sensibilities. So, again, macroymerch.com. Check that out totally.
And a big thank you to Montaigne for the use of our theme song.
My life
we probably said
you.
That in the
probably
episode,
probably did that
right?
in the episode, yes.
But you know what? It bears repeating. It's okay. A good song.
It's a great track. Great
2 years now. We just passed the 2 year I saw on Montaigne's TikTok.
Happy anniversary, and enjoy the rest of the episode.
Somewhere in an alternate universe where Hollywood is smarter.
And the Emmy nominees for Outstanding Comedy Series are Jet Pacula, Airport Marriott, Threpple, Dear America, We've Seen You Naked, and Allah in the Family.
In our stupid universe, you can't see any of these shows, but you can listen to them on Dead Pilot Society. the podcast that brings you hilarious comedy pilots that the networks and streamers bought but never made. Journey to the alternate television universe of Dead Pilot Society on MaximumFun.org.
I'm Jesse Thorne. Bullseye is celebrating 50 years of hip-hop by bringing you an entire month of brand new interviews with rappers. That means Jeezy.
I put my pain in the music.
Angie Stone.
You know, hip-hops. We called them hops back then.
Master P.
Music is what's going to open the doors for us, but whatever we come up with after this, it's going to be bigger.
Plus, Chica, Saba, even the greatest of them all, Rakim. That's this September. Open up that podcast app, type in Bullseye, and hit subscribe. You're not going to want to miss any of this.
Listen, let's put the tiger on the table and yell at it for a second. There's no good way to come back from a podcast intermission where it's not like, we did that so we could pee.
Yeah.
Because we can't go an hour and a half without doing that.
Hey, I also ate a donut.
Yeah. So when we come back on stage, like, we are coming back from our adult pee.
We weren't busy taking industry phone calls.
No.
We just peed.
We peed.
That's it.
And it took us that long to take turns.
Did you and y'all pee?
Yeah!
How many bathrooms do they have here? I'm like, everybody yells.
That's fucking gross, everybody.
Gross.
This was a sting operation. We never peed in our lives, you pervs. Everybody peeing in buildings.
Yeah. I want to munch. I want to munch. Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast.
What?
Yeah, and it's profiling the latest and greatest in brand eating. And y'all, this is really latest and greatest because
AI, that was a big yawn.
I'm
little
so
driven.
Sorry.
Hey, bud. I'm sorry. I'll try to be funnier, I guess.
Can we just...
No.
This isn't for show, but next time I say I'm just going to have a pre-show big burrito bowl. Between that and the red wine I've been drinking, I look like and feel like Orson Welles a little bit.
Okay, so this is going to wake you right up.
All right, baby.
AI, robots, and the inventive future of White Castle.
Huh. Hey, Justin, are you going to give me 20 guesses as to what the last two words of that sentence are going to be?
I know.
Wouldn't have gotten there.
Yeah.
Paul, let's see our first image.
That's a robot? It looks like a person.
Well, that's amazing.
That's an actual person. White Castle's been around 102 years, give or take a month or two. A journey that began...
Does it say that?
Yeah.
You should know, press release.
They started dishing square hamburgers for 5 cents a piece. Still family-owned, the brand's guidepost remains nostalgic. Create memorable moments.
Yet the the longer I look at this picture, the more the eyes seem to say, please move to the next picture.
There is no next picture.
Oh, no.
Oh,
I'm
no.
so sorry, person in the picture.
The venerable brand has been exploring two initiatives better suited for the Jetsons... than a tale on fast food's original player. One was what's become a highly publicized partnership with Miso Robotics, and it's Flippy, now Flippy 2, robot, which essentially takes over the fryer station. The other was a deal with MasterCard on drive-thru AI dubbed Julia.
Can I just say, it's really big of them to still work with Flippy after they revealed that he shit on his friend that one time?
No, that's Flippy.
Flippy, right, Flippy, sorry.
Okay, my timeline is vital. The timeline is vital. This is a sentence from the press release about White Castle. This timeline is vital to understand.
Michael Guinan, White Castle's VP of Operation Services, shared at restaurant spaces.
If you don't understand it, you get fired from your job as a White Castle executive.
Listen to this, guys. This is from White Castle. If you are not already in robotics and you do agree that it's coming, I suggest you do it sooner than later. Says the VP of Operations at White Castle.
Holy shit. This dude read like a Consumer Weekly like magazine article and was like, I'm fucking so scared right now. Yeah. The only weapon I can wield in the cyber war is that I am an executive at White Castle.
I'm a jobs creator for robots.
In the 3 years...
There's a Fibonacci sequence in our window.
In the 3 years since the collaboration, Flippy has entered 10 White Castle locations.
And he won't leave!
Flippy has entered 10 White Castle locations with plans to reach 100.
Whose plans?
Then,
wait.
And then presumably...
I won't stop!
And then presumably, like...
My plans, Zion will grow!
Plans to stop there forever, right? They get to 100 and it's like, well, let's never do this.
Yeah.
This has gone far enough.
To be fair, Justin, hard-pressed. Think there's more than 100 White Castle?
I bet there's probably a million of them.
Yeah, I think there's probably about a million.
The Julia AI is about to go to its third White Castle. So, there's 7 robots that aren't answering to fucking anybody. Do the math. There's 10 Flippies, 3 Julias, 7 Flippies are just going for
yeah.
it every
Sorry.
Single day.
I missed this. What's Julia do?
Julia is an AI that they developed with MasterCard that helps with point of sale.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Stuff.
So they...
No.
Flippy...
Yeah.
Flip stuff and works the fryer.
Yeah.
Julia...
Yeah.
They didn't name it Payee,
no, they
Cardi. No.
They should have named them Dharma and Greg with these two because they are total opposites, and yet somehow they can't. They love each other.
That's yeah. why, because it's like, oh, we're going to bring Julia here, and 7 Flippies are like, no.
No.
I can't work with her after the divorce.
He's a straight-laced robot. She's incorporeal.
The that. Broader point, guys, look at this fucking White Castle.
It looks
look,
cool.
Look how HR got here, made a White Castle.
Well, I just assumed lightning struck the front of it.
Yeah, and it burned to ash. Listen, the AI Julia is about to go to its third White Castle, but, and this is a direct fucking quote, should be able to scale quickly on a regional level. Oh, good. Excellent. So the one thing that's not a problem is this thing's just going to go nuts. Absolutely. This thing's going to go wild, and it will not know where to stop.
Okay, wait.
Actually, you know what? Paul, let's go ahead and...
I was hoping you'd be cute.
Let's roll the beautiful Flippy footage. If you can be so...
Oh. Holy shit.
Look at that. Nope.
All you will lose your jobs. It's okay. Don't freak out. We'll figure out other stuff to do. Surely there's something they can't do. Oh, shit. The robot does everything. Oh, no.
I got my degree in English lit.
My acting gigs are going to come through.
I can also do surgery.
I'm just working this job to buy cyber drugs.
Listen, it doesn't take a lot for me to be scared of some sort of global phenomenon, but I will say they can't keep like a fucking McFlurry machine up and running for longer than 4.5 hours at any McDonald's. There's no way. If I throw one grain of sand at Flippy, he's dead. He's fucking dead. Nobody there is like, well, let me get out. Looks like this gasket's blown. There's no fucking way.
It is fun that it's like, well, they took away the jobs, but then they hired like that many plus 3 people to maintain it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you guys at cleaning out servos?
Yeah, good, pretty good, I guess. Yeah, sure.
I feel like I'm flashing forward to 50 years in the future where the robot breaks down. And the lady says to the guy, like, okay, you cook the burgers. He's like, what are you talking about? Me? Yeah, me?
That's Flippy job.
Good joke, Amp. In the future, none of us cook hamburgers. We leave that to robot business. In fact...
Wait, in 50 years, human 50 beings years. Are called Amp?
No, that's just the name of that one in the post-apocalyptic.
So it's weird. Okay, it's that weird that ass. They have that name, yeah. though,
that's
right?
Hey, Juice, what a fucking wild name to pull, man.
I'm good at doing names now.
We do three more.
Destro.
Ooh. Shit.
Thimble.
Oh, fuck.
And Crosswind.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, man.
Crosswind is my new best friend.
So this is what it says next in the article. You have to start by asking why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
It's too late for that.
The notion for White Castle is that AI and robotics aren't there to replace hospitality. In fact, they're tools designed to amplify guest satisfaction.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For a new
Says
age.
Robo Satisfaction Trot 9000.
Right. This press release was written by humans, we swear. Carol Bozer, White Castle CIO, is firmly in the camp of those who believe that AI will, quote, change everything. As soon as a few months ago, she wasn't. But then she asked a 150-plus person crowd of operators and vendors if they've used ChatGPT, and more than half of them raised their hand. And this is now.
And then
this,
she was like, "All right, make some fries."
All right, I'm scared of that now. Let's throw everything we've got at it.
This is what Carol Bozer, an executive at White Castle, says. All of you are beginning to realize it's coming.
Jesus Christ.
It has been for 15 or 20 years. This is not your grandpa's robots that you used to see in the 70s that were manufacturing our cars. These are robots that are able to make decisions, to learn from things, protect humans, and stay out of their way. Anyway, I'm an executive at White Castle Hamburgers.
And I'm terrified.
And that's
so scared.
I'm at. What I'm saying is fucking get on board with these robots because they
get on board or get out of the way.
Yeah. They wrote this press release for the robots to be like, we get it now.
We're the burger meat now.
I know I talked shit, but I talked to 150 scientists who are scared shitless of you guys.
Guinan says White Castle was drawn to this technology for reasons touted by industry peers. Quote, let's call it what it is. We are struggling to get enough labor on the floor.
Oh, so it's our fucking fault.
Julia is not taking a job away from anyone. I mean, you could pay people
Wait,
more.
So these educated...
I mean, you just pay people
no,
more.
No, I'd rather spend $7 trillion.
Justin, educated, driven young people, why don't they accept these posh jobs at White Castle?
Just, have these great jobs. Anyway, it says that it's not about that. It's just about it's not about taking a job away from anyone.
It's about giving jobs to robots.
Hey, y'all, he says that, right?
Because if the robots are unemployed, pretty soon they'll just turn to killing us.
Yep. He says that, and then there's another paragraph after it. Recently, at one of the locations with drive-through voice AI, a crew manager told Guinan, Julia just went on the night shift, then added, oh my God, she just kept taking orders.
What?
So they've got one where it's like, listen, it cool. And then the next one's like, hey, the fucking robot won't stop it. We can't stop it. We don't know how to stop it. It just keeps taking orders and we can't stop the robot. Is that in its programming? Because we're out of chicken and it's looking at us.
Yeah, it was wild. Julia locked the doors and turned the heat up to 500 degrees.
She said we're being broasted. Is that something?
And Flippy kept high-fiving us.
Okay. The problem with Flippy 1, and I'm sure you're all wondering.
Yeah. This is problematic political opinions.
The problem with Flippy 1 is it helped employees stay in designated locations.
What?
Yeah, workers.
Don't move.
But the workers noted a need for human assistance on both sides of the robot. From the initial point of contact with uncooked product to when the cooked food gets placed in the holding area. So the robot's great. You just have to gingerly hand it the chicken and then take the chicken away from it immediately.
But with flat hand, like you're feeding a carrot to a horse.
Yeah. Don't move fast, please.
Wear the special green glove so he can differentiate. More chicken. No, Flippy.
No. It's really a matter of time.
Listen, we're having a lot of fun here. It's fucking terrifying.
Somebody built Flippy, and they were like, hey, how much crushing power should we give the claw? And then somebody was like, ooh, that's a good question. Well, how heavy is a basket of chicken wings? Like, oh, I don't know, maybe like 20 pounds. All right, give it 3,000 pounds of crushing strength. Yeah. Just to be on the safe side.
In case, like, a raw piece of chicken falls under a Honda.
Wait, hold on 1 second. Tick, 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 tick. Okay, I put in a line of code that's like, don't use that on people. Should be good. Let's roll.
Carol Boozer points to the manufacturing industry as a harbinger of what's to come for restaurants.
A harbinger?
A harbinger.
It says harbinger in the press release?
White Castle's fryer had become its bottleneck. Quote, you almost had to be an octopus to run the fryer. Or, I mean, you could just get two people. I mean, another thing. Okay, this is good. She also loves the idea of solving what's been a fast food quarrel for as long as the category has existed. Quote, our team members do not like doing portion control, she says with a laugh. You know they don't like using their scoops of the world.
What?
So basically the employees are, this is the real thing that she's saying is the humans give us too much food. And the robots will be much more strict about how much food we're allotted
Jesus
in each portion.
Jesus Christ.
No big deal.
Should go good. White. You know what, White Castle? I'm watching. History's watching.
It's not where I thought it would start.
No, not at all. But it never is, huh?
Oh, damn.
That's the deal. So the robots are doing cooking now.
Cool. We have some questions from the audience that we have gone through. We're going to call some folks down by name and seat number. Please approach the mic if
the
we call you down.
The microphone is over here. Oh, thank
and
you,
And I can't believe
light.
I have to say this. If we don't call you, please don't approach the microphone.
Listen, you wouldn't think
it happened in Austin. At one point, there were five people lined up, and there were only two questions left.
It was very scary for us.
Hi. I actually did two questions. Was it?
Yeah, your shirt gives me an indication of what we called you up for.
Yeah, okay, I figured it was that one. So when I was about 11 or 12 years old, I wrote a WikiHow article called How to Throw a Les Mis Birthday Party.
You.
Hannah, I'm gonna be straight with you. When I saw this question in our inbox backstage like 15 minutes ago, I was excited, and then I realized this was going to be our first basically live interview because I want to know fucking everything.
Okay. But my question for you was, I'm turning 21 this year. Do you have any advice for updating my Les Mis birthday party?
No, exactly
no?
the same.
Okay.
Perfect.
Now, Hannah, how did you, an 11-year-old...
Hey.
Yes?
Brew am I? Is that anything? 21?
Like for beers?
Like for beers that you have, like...
No.
I don't think
beers?
So. No.
You could just do drink with me.
Anyways.
Drink with me is actually just what that's about, huh? Ah, damn it. You gotta give it up to the masters. Andrew Lloyd Webber and his friends. I don't actually know who wrote that one. I'm sorry.
Is just anyone allowed to post on WikiHow?
I guess. I made an account, and it doesn't show my username on there, but my username was Gavroche Thenardier.
Yeah.
Fuck, yes.
Yeah, it was.
Yes. Did you do the pictures, or do they have one guy that does all those?
I don't know who did the pictures.
So anyone's allowed to post, and anyone then like can... one guy's like, how the fuck do I draw this? That explains so many reverse WikiHow.
I need to know if you ever actually did this.
No, unfortunately.
Why not?
Then wait a minute. No, because I'm about to turn on you.
Oh, no.
What possessed you to say, I'm fucking qualified to write the book on throwing a Les Mis birthday party?
To create the genre.
It was because I really wanted one and I couldn't find any instructions online. So
that's the
like...
best thing I've ever heard, Hannah. H-
Hannah, I have another question that has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
You were 11?
11
what was 12. Your version of Les Mis that you were like, this is it?
This is unpopular. I first encountered it through the movie.
Oh, that's great.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Good.
So I was really into
nowhere
the movie.
Nowhere to go but up.
I read... I don't think
oh,
it's bad.
The crowd has turned on Justin.
Oh, no, not Justin City.
It, Hannah, it's wild that you haven't thrown a Les Mis birthday party. It's you even, wrote the book on it.
It's even wilder that you have come to us today saying, I need a great birthday party idea for my 21st birthday.
I really, really want you to do this. It's really important to me, actually, okay. That you do this.
Listen, we'll the world has been through a lot in the last, yeah. 3 years.
Yeah.
Nice.
Can I say, for the record, I did not update it on May 6, 2021. I don't know who did that. It wasn't me.
It was me, Hannah. There were a few grammatical errors, which is you were 11. That's like totally to be.
I'll film a video intro of the three of us like welcoming people to the party. Yeah. We'll do whatever to make this party happen. So please do have a Les Mis birthday party. Does that help?
That helps so much. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello, welcome.
Hi, my name is Teddy.
Hi, Teddy.
Any pronouns, I don't care.
Teddy, I love your shirt.
Thank you.
It's all fantastic. I would wear that pattern in a heartbeat.
Also, I would come to the Les Mis party. I'm like,
yeah, right? Anybody here would, yeah. It would be the event of the century.
I'm like big into theater, which should be obvious because I listen to the show.
Yeah, I mean, everybody here, you're again.
Yeah. Wait, we're kind of jocks. What are you talking about? Yeah.
But I was the person who sent in a thing about a kind of sticky situation I had at Target.
Yeah.
We don't, Teddy, usually go for sort of more story-based confessional questions like this, but this one really tickled.
Yeah, lay it out.
Lay it out, Teddy.
Okay. So, okay. Most people, when they come up to the cash register, are actually very nice.
No, you don't have
this
to say
Target.
If you don't.
This is Target. I don't
okay,
care.
Yeah. Cool.
I bring it up only because I've noticed a large amount of the people who work at Target know who we are. More than any other place I've ever been. I don't know what the draw is.
You
but
mean
it's like,
compared to Earth, right?
Yeah.
Like compared to Earth.
I'm saying that 60% of Target workers know who I am.
No, like
60%
of Target.
Compared to everywhere else.
Teddy, can you confirm this?
Yeah, the gays love Target.
Okay.
So basically most people are actually very nice. I feel like there's this misconception that like you get like awful customers every single day. I was actually doing like fine. Most people are fine. This dude came up and he was super, super insistent that I pack everything in one bag.
Yeah.
So okay. I see his stuff and I'm
like, Begley Jr.
I'm like, do you want one bag or two? And he's like, no, just one. I don't want to. Like, he says it like 5 times while I'm ringing him up. And I'm like, okay.
Do y'all have a bag ban here in California where you have to like pay for bags at the grocery store? Okay, cool.
I scan all of his stuff and I put all the clothes in the bag. It's all clothes and one bottle of maple syrup.
Right.
So... I touch the maple syrup and it's like a little bit sticky.
Sure.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's maple syrup. It's, yeah. You mean the bottle of maple?
No,
you touched
the bottle. The bottle's not supposed to be sticky.
You weren't sampling the maple syrup to make sure it was sticky enough for the customer before they went home.
So I pick up the bottle. It's a little bit sticky. I'm like, okay, this is probably broken. This is probably like, you know, usually I would get them another one, but he's like rushing me. And he had said like a bunch of like, he's just being a dick.
Okay.
And so I take the maple syrup and I do put it in the same bag as the clothes.
As the rest of the clothes. Yeah. Okay.
Hold on. Teddy.
And I very specifically put it sideways.
Oh, Teddy.
Oh, God, Teddy.
Now, hold on.
You
hold
had
on.
Plausible deniability, Teddy, until this exact moment.
No, listen. Teddy.
Yeah.
Have you considered? Let's look at the facts.
Okay. I feel like I'm talking to
this
my
dad. This person bought a bunch of clothes,
and one bottle of maple syrup. They were insistent that you put it all in the same bag.
Okay.
And the lid maybe was a little bit open. This person
is a
kind
bit
of a sticky boy.
Kind of a sticky Ricky, I think, maybe we got
on
our hands.
Yeah, it's a sticky Ricky.
They knew
target.
Exactly what was happening. This is their whole deal.
Yeah.
They like to try on shirts and be like, wow, clingy.
Yeah,
this person is immediately went into the parking lot, walked through, looking at their clothes, like, oh, these are so sticky.
Oh, yeah, Teddy laid it down sideways.
This is gonna
Teddy knew.
This is going to be such a mess for me.
Teddy knew what was up.
I yeah. feel like...
Oh, can't wait to put on these sticky pants.
Teddy, I know that this show is not like a confessional, but I felt so... horrible about this.
You facilitated a wonderful experience.
Yeah, for us.
For this pervert.
No, I think
for this sticky, sticky pervert.
Teddy, it's a good reminder that you should try to wash your clothes from any store before you wear them, because you never
know. Unless that's your thing.
This.
Okay. This.
We have introduced the phrase "Teddy laid it down sideways" as like a. Strong message of like, oh damn, Teddy laid it down sideways on this one, is so powerful. How was the concert? Oh damn, Teddy laid it down fucking sideways. Does that help?
Yes, it absolutely does. Thank
okay,
you very
thank
much.
You, Teddy.
All right, Teddy laid down sideways.
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
So I'm here with my wife and three kids. They're up there.
Whoa!
Hey! Hey, y'all.
And, you know, like you all, I try to, like, meet my family at their level. Like, I'm not as cool as them. I don't know all the lingo. My wife said I can't wear dark shoes anymore, so she maybe get these white sneakers.
Oh, that's fine.
That's a good call.
Hey, Juice, what shoe? Oh, you're probably wearing nice shoes now.
Yeah,
huh?
I wear my
shit.
Black.
Okay. Yeah, Justin and I wear the same shoes. It's fucking humiliating.
It's humiliating to not be the one wearing the same shoes, but go on.
I get it, yeah. Well,
you don't
my
get
son
it.
Picked out these pants.
I'm sorry, Matt.
Your son picked out those pants?
Yeah.
That's so sharp. Yeah, nice.
I went
nice
thrifting, because, like, you know, that's what the kids do these days. They go thrifting.
They pick out pants.
Yeah.
But they started using this word, and they won't tell me what it means.
Okay. Oh,
this
will be fun.
Hopefully you can help me. The word is Riz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, hold on.
Now, this is not a... This next part isn't a joke. I can tell you that we weren't initially going to do this one, but then I wanted to know what that meant also.
And this is also not a joke. As soon as Justin said, I don't know what it means, I said, okay, great. I also don't know what it means.
And I said, at some point, someone said something I didn't understand, and I entered four fucking letters into Google and became the enlightened one of...
That's too easy.
Way too easy. They'll know. Listen, they'll sense that. If you got it, if you have to search for it, your kids will know.
No, they fucking won't. They definitely won't. You just got to set aside a little bit of time every day to Google words you don't understand that young people say.
That's the way you stay relevant.
But then I can't use it wrong and embarrass them because I say it in front of their friends.
Don't you, but, oh
no,
man.
But Matt. Hey, Matt. Okay, Matt. Holy shit. Matt. Matt,
do you realize who you're fucking talking to right now, Matt?
You're talking to three dads slash sons.
Of a dad who came out here
wearing
what he
suit.
Wore.
Matt, considering my lifestyle, I never would have expected this, but I believe I've been triggered. I believe that this is what it feels like. It's so specific, I never thought I would have wandered into it.
So, Matt, your question has changed from, I don't know what this word means to, yeah, I don't know what this word means. And I don't like that second version as much.
No.
Okay. Now, there is everyone, what does it mean?
Charisma.
Charisma.
And I bet you thought it was dirty, didn't you?
I no. did. Well,
you'll be relieved.
They fooled me, I guess.
Yeah. Sure.
So Matt, I thought it was dirty, Matt.
I guess the takeaway here is whenever that happens, just let us know. We'll come here.
And shame you.
We'll
and
do
shame
a show.
You publicly.
Give you a little bit of a riz. And then you'll find out whatever the word means. Does that help?
Perfect.
Thank you, Matt. Right,
thank you, Matt.
You.
Hello.
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 It's a fucking great shirt.
Thank you.
I have one myself, but I haven't worn it in public yet.
I had a feeling.
Yeah.
My name is Hazel, she, her.
Hi, Hazel.
So my brother's birthday is tomorrow, and it's a Tour de France wine tasting themed birthday party.
Sure. And hey, then, can I just say?
Yeah?
A wildly, like, non-specific, specific theme.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm making cream puffs for the party.
Sure.
And he,
as is customary.
As is customary. And he recently found out that he's going to be a dad. It's not a gender reveal thing. He knows.
Oh, thank God. If I have to go to one more gender reveal themed Tour de France themed party. Played out. Yeah. All right, we get it.
Also, costumes are mandatory. I don't know if
costumes? Bicycle
Do you mean
costumes?
Just bike wear?
Or France wear?
France or bikes?
Anyway.
You're dodging the question a little
sorry,
bit.
Hazel, wait, sorry, Hazel.
I have some friends who are pretty hardcore into bikes, and all I know is that the clothes they buy is supposed to make them sleek and smooth like an alien, like some like H.R. Giger designed their human form so they can go like 1 second faster, and everything costs $1 million.
And also, aside from the one bike seat thing, they're not comfortable sitting in chairs.
No, okay. Never, ever.
All right. But they do get padded butts, which okay. I always appreciate.
Okay.
Okay, Hazel, what is your problem?
Don't be weird. So I wanted to know, what is something that I could do to surprise, like, with the cream puffs? Like,
oh,
what?
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
hold on. Like, let's narrow this down, because there's a lot of stuff you could put in a cream puff that would be a surprise.
Sure.
No choking hazard, please.
This is good. Anything that isn't cream would be,
yeah,
and literally any other like solid liquid gas
literally,
plasma, any other
anything
thing.
Anything crunchy would yeah. be a surprise. Now, if you want a surprise specifically about like, hey, it's your birthday and you're dead, not crunchy. Let's start there.
You could make the argument that every dinner roll is a very surprising cream puff.
Yeah,
you know.
A very disappointing yeah. cream puff, I would say, yeah, maybe.
Not every surprise is good, Griff.
Yeah, if you bite into a cream puff and it's just air.
Yeah, that's wild.
I love the King Baby in the King Baby
cake
in New Orleans. And I do wish that was present. That sort of gamification of cake was present in other pastries. And so maybe one of them has like a little toy in it.
That's a great idea,
and that person will be the next person who gets pregnant.
Whoa. That's the tradition that we have.
Yeah. Now there's a baby in your cream puff.
Oh, God.
Someday a scientist will break down the sound wave of the thing I just said and point to, and that's where he realized.
I mean, more, you could, the other, mine was no cream. But I guess the other option is more cream than you would expect to be in there. Like, it looks thicker than it actually is. And when you bite into it, it's like, God damn, that is almost all cream. I just wasn't ready.
You're talking about a hair's breadth thin membrane of
like
puff.
Like a balloon of puff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a you pick it up and you're like, this feels denser than it should
yes.
be.
Like a toddler's bubble
yes.
over the horizon. And it pops, cream, all cream, loads of cream.
Different kinds of cream as they work their way through.
That could be cool, actually.
Hey, different amounts of mint in everyone.
Oh, I like that.
And some of them are like inedible. And you'll hear people fighting like, it wasn't too minty for me. Yeah.
It was very natural. Oh, I thought it was too much. I'm puking.
This is disgusting. I hate this. Are those some good cream puff surprises, Hazel?
Those are great.
Thank you for coming. Thank you, seriously, Hazel. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody. Okay, we can lower the lights. Thanks, everyone, for coming to this podcast. There we go. Thank you. It's kind of stressful to see everybody.
It really is.
So many. Thank you so much for having us in beautiful San Jose again.
Yes. Thank you to the San Jose Civic for having us. It is a gorgeous theater, and we are
so
honored
kind
to be here.
And nice. It's a beautiful place.
Let's hear it for our dad.
Clint McElroy. Sorry, you didn't let me finish. Let's hear it for our dad, Paul Saborin.
Paul.
Paul Saborin is our tour manager. We wouldn't be able to do this without him. Let's hear it for Amanda, our regular manager. Let's hear it for our sound person, Rachel.
Sound person.
Hi, Rachel's back there. Rachel has to listen to us scream into microphones. She wants to or not.
And thank you to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You.
Also want to say, the poster was designed by Evan Palmer.
So fucking good. I delight in this poster.
Yeah, we love it very, very much.
You should get it because you can't get them after. Come on, just get one.
Yeah, we'll throw them away. Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch them sink down a drain and watch Pennywise eat them than give them away to you people.
That motherfucker loves eating posters.
Pennywise ate all our posters before.
Look at that. That's gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Some of the posters actually have bite marks out of them where we had to pull them out of his mouth. He loves it.
Okay.
Travis, I have to notice you're not looking at your phone to read a Jack Johnson quote. Yeah, you do keep forgetting about that in the live environment.
You do the end of the show now. It used to be...
Keep talking. Griffin. Thank other people. Thank your wives.
Thanks, Rachel. You're crushing it at home, and I wish I was there. I miss you guys so bad.
Thank you to Sydney for making it possible for me to be here.
Thank my wife.
Okay, thank you, Teresa.
You sounded like you said chorizo. Try it again.
Thank you, chorizo. You crushing it.
I watched Portrait of a Lady on the plane in. Does anybody want to talk about Portrait
Four
of a Lady?
Weirdos definitely do, Juice.
I knew that wasn't great. Oh, man.
Now my phone's not responding.
We had some of the orange sauce that you all are so wild about.
Yeah.
It was good. We really liked it. It's not, I don't know.
It's definitely not going to fuck me up tonight.
I got one right here.
Do it.
Your phone is frozen on an airline advertisement.
Hey, you know what I really love?
Yeah. Is this the part of the quote?
Yeah, it says right here. You know
what I really love? Your screen is not responding to
you. You know what I really love?
Yeah.
Peanuts, man. Fucking trip me out. It's like surfing with your tongue, but it's peanuts, Jack Johnson.
I don't think...
My name is Justin McElroy. I'm Travis Ackroyd.
His phone is dead. I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother. He gets your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.